He brought me love that only He could give. I brought Him cause to cry. And though He taught me how to live, I taught Him how to die. And I'm the one to blame. I caused all the pain. He gave Himself the day He wore my crown. He could have called His holy Father and said, "Take me away, please take me away." He could have said, "I'm not guilty. And I'm not gonna stay, I'm not gonna pay." But then He walked right through the gate, and then on up the hill. And as He fell beneath the weight, He cried, "Father, not my will." And I'm the one to blame. I caused all the pain. He gave Himself the day He wore my crown. He gave Himself the day He wore my crown. Amen.
Can we ever thank Him enough for that day indeed? You can be turning this morning to John chapter 17, Gospel of John chapter 17, looking at conjunction with this series of messages and theme of our church for the year and pursuing excellence for Christ, fundamental to our pursuing excellence for Christ is certainly that we would pursue excellence in our understanding of the truth and just what truth is. And so we look at that subject this morning, and if you found your place in John chapter 17, I'd ask you, in reverence to the Word of God, to stand with me. We'll read a few verses here and look at some other passages here in the Gospel of John. John chapter 17, and beginning to read in verse 14. Jesus, of course, praying here, what some have called His high priestly prayer. Certainly, that beautiful, beautiful prayer leading up to and prior to His arrest. And, of course, the crucifixion that we just heard sung. Jesus says, "I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth." We bow before You, Father. We're grateful for Your word this morning. I'm thankful that I don't stand here and have to try to communicate human wisdom or give advice based on my own understanding, but that we can open Your word. And even as we've just read, that your Son declares it to be true. And for we seek to hear from you, Lord, and ask that you'd take absolute, complete charge of everything that go on. Lord, I'd ask you in the name of Jesus that you would arrest our attention, that our hearts wouldn't be thinking, our minds wouldn't be contemplating other things, what may be going on the rest of the day, but we'd just settle in, focus in on what you would say to us in this hour. Give liberty to the Word and to human lips to declare exactly what you once said. And Father, we will indeed rejoice in the truth and as best we can pursue your excellence in the truth. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And of course, be seated. We've said we're going to look at this subject of the truth this morning. Most of us would probably confess that somewhere along the line, our parents tried to teach us to tell the truth. And that, of course, is a very important thing to teach our children. But remember, though, in spite of that, or in light of that, our children will be a truthful reflection of us. Sometimes more than we want them to be that reflection of us. And so with that, we need to be careful to live not just at the church house the way we ought to, but at the ranch house, at home, the way we ought to, so that we might not be sorry at some point along the way. There was the time the preacher was preaching on lifestyle evangelism, an important thing as well. And one of the families in the church got a hold of that, and they thought, that's really important. We need to enter in and try to do what we can to reach folk. And so immediately that next week, they invited the neighbors for supper for Friday night. They wanted to be a good example to them. So it came to the meal, and the lady of the house, the hostess, had everything just right. And of course, she wanted to show her neighbors that they held to and practiced Christian principles and so forth in their home. So they asked little Johnny to ask the Lord's blessing on the meal. And little Johnny sat there. He's only 5 years old and didn't know how to do that, especially kind of intimidated with company there. And he just sat there, and finally Mama looked over to him, and she smiled, you know, trying to encourage him. And finally she says, "Darling, you just say what Daddy said at breakfast this morning." Well, he kind of perked up in a seat, and obediently he said, "Oh God, we've got those awful people coming to supper tonight." Our children will often reveal more about truth, more the truth about us than we might want them to want to be known. Well, the world has its view of truth. The world has its view. Philosophers, lawyers, even theologians have spent the ages seeking to discern, to debate, and dissect just what truth is and what is true. Now, the question is always, is there such a thing as absolute truth? And by that, when we use that word, when we speak of absolute truth, we're talking about that. Is there truth that is certain? Is there truth that is complete? Is there truth that we could declare this is perfect truth? It's interesting. A recent Barna Research Group survey on what Americans believe asked the question, is there absolute truth? Get this. 66% of adults responded that they believe there's no such thing as absolute truth. They went on to comment that different people can define truth in conflicting ways and still be correct. That doesn't even make sense. But But listen to this, it's even scarier. 72% of those age 18 to 25 expressed the same thing. Tells us where we're headed, didn't it? They went on to give their thinking on this and said, truth is whatever you believe. Truth is whatever you believe. And that there is no absolute truth. And then they comment is that if there were such a thing as absolute truth, how could we know what it is? What they were saying is, even if there is absolute truth, there's no way we can know. Get this. This is interesting. They also found that people believe that those folk that believe in absolute truth are dangerous. If you believe in absolute truth, you're dangerous. What about that? Is truth relative? Just whatever you believe is truth? Is truth whatever you want to sort it out to be? Are people dangerous who believe that truth can be absolute? Well, folks, the Bible declares that there is truth that is absolute. Means it's just way it is. There's no black or white. It is true. I do want to ask you this. Does that make me dangerous? do I look dangerous this morning? Well, don't answer. I don't want any answers on that. As Christians, we're not to go to the world's philosophers. And in many cases, we need to stay away from some theologians as well. We need to judge all things by the truth. By the truth. The problem is having a right and dependable means of knowing truth. Or in another case, measuring what is true. Very important. If I'm driving down the road and my speedometer tells me that I'm going 55 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone, and suddenly I see the red and the blue lights flashing in my rearview mirror. And having pulled over, the honorable officer tells me that I was going 65 miles an hour, and he very happily hands me a piece of paper known as a ticket. Well, I may protest all I want, but if I investigate, I may find out that my speedometer was lying to me. That it was not giving me a reliable message of how fast I was going. Well, I was dependent on that message, wasn't I? Well, don't ask my wife too much about, you know, there's Baptist preachers are famous for having heavy feet. No more comments on that. If I'm driving down the road, though, I've got to rely on that message that it was given me. And unfortunately, that message was wrong. It was not true. What was the result? Because of that wrong message, I had to pay the consequences for it. Along the same lines, I used to work in construction, Brother Joe. And several years ago, it was between churches. And one day while I was working and had my tape reel going, and the end broke off the tape reel. You know, the stop on the end of it, that hook that you use there. But along with the end breaking off, about a half an inch of the tape broke off with it. Now, again, I learned a lesson that day to always have a spare tape in the truck. But, you know, what are you going to do? It's kind of hard to measure things very long without a hook on the end of your tape reel. Well, I could have probably just taped the end of that, end back on my tape reel. The problem was that everything I would have measured the rest of the day would have been a half an inch short. No matter how many times I cut it, it would have still been short. You think about that a while. Why? Because I would have been depending on a wrong standard. A bad, unreliable standard. Now, of course, those are relatively minor consequences to pay to deal with, but they illustrate for us how important it is to have a reliable measure or standard of truth. Of truth. So we ask you to think about this. It is essential, folk. It is essential that the truth that we are staking our lives and our eternity on be reliable. That we can trust the truth. That it is indeed what? True. True. So the question is asked, what are we depending upon? What are we relying on to be true in our lives, in your life? Have you found a reliable message to live by? What the question, what are you staking your eternal destiny upon? Better be right. It better be true. Jesus Christ declares to us that the Bible is true. That the Word of God is true. As Jesus prayed there in verse 8 of our chapter, He says, "For I have given unto them," the them that He's speaking of there were His disciples, His followers, those that loved Him, those that He loved. "For I have given to them the words which Thou gavest Me." Now get this. "And they have received them, and have known shortly that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send Me." The disciples believed the message that Christ delivered to them. That message that God the Father had given to Him, and He had given to them. Now, the Lord Jesus repeats that statement in verse 14, as we read a moment ago. He said, "I have given them," the disciples, "Thy word." I have given them Thy word. What did He give them? He had given them His Father's word and His disciples. In verse 17, He declares also that His Father's word is what? True. It's true. It's true. Now we're trying to lay some foundation here. We have that same word. We have that same word. By the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit of God, you and I have the very words of God. We have those words as they were given to the Lord Jesus Christ, as He gave them to His disciples, and God the Holy Spirit inspired and so worked that you and I can sit here today with this Bible and know that we have the truth. The truth of God. Turn over, if you would, in chapter 18 of the Gospel of John. Chapter 18, it's really hard to know where to break into these passages as the Lord Jesus Christ is communicating so much to us here. But in this passage, He has now been arrested. And He's standing before Governor Pilate, being interrogated by Pilate. And we pick up reading in verse 34. And it says, "Jesus answered him," speaking to Pilate. He says, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of me?" As you read in verse 33, Pilate entered into the judgment hall and called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "Where did you get that? Is this something that you've said or something others have said?" Pilate in verse 35 answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." The kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ was not an earthly or temporal kingdom. You're mindful earlier on as he was to be arrested in verse 10. Simon Peter, it says, drew a knife and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Servant's name was Malchus, it says. Then, of course, Jesus instructed him, put up your sword, and he healed the man. No, he says, my kingdom's not a kingdom that can be won by the sword. It's a kingdom of truth. It's a kingdom that is established on and by the truth. I'm not here, as we prayed earlier, to declare to you the wisdom of man. I'm not here to declare to you what I think is right or wrong. As best I can, my duty, my obligation is to declare to you the truth as we have received it from our God. Jesus said, my kingdom is established in the truth. And he goes on, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight. And he goes on in verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. Now listen to this. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Wow. What a statement. What a powerful statement. And we could see this fulfilled in many ways here. But notice carefully the words that the Lord Jesus Christ uses. He says, thou sayest that I'm a king. And indeed, we understand from this side of Calvary and from this side in reading the Word of God that indeed He is a king. He's the King of kings. He's the King of all kings. But as He stood there that day before Pilate, we recognize that He is under arrest. And as He uses these words, to this end was I born. I can almost imagine it. As his hands are bound before him, I almost can imagine him lifting his hands a few inches and saying, to this end I was born. Speaking of his humanity. Huh? He came into this world and took upon himself flesh and blood. For what reason? For that exact time. For that exact purpose that he come into this world. He goes on. And of course, his humanity, his birth, speaks of his human birth. And he says, and for this cause came I into the world. Those words speak of his eternal divinity, his eternal deity. He came into the world. He didn't come into existence in the womb of Mary. He was conceived there of the Holy Ghost. He came into the world as God, the eternal God. And he came for the very cause for which he stood before Pilate on that day. And again, he says that he's done this that he might bear witness of the truth. What truth? Well, beloved, back in the previous verses, he speaks that he indeed is the light of the world. He's the one that would bring light and life to the very heart of man. And indeed, that message was borne out in what he accomplished for us there at the cross of Calvary. Oh my. He says, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. The question, do we have ears to hear? Do we hear His voice? Jesus' entire earthly walk, from His conception and birth to His death, burial, and resurrection, was a testimony of all that He was and all that He came to do. To indeed die for the sins of man, be buried as the testimony that He actually did give up the ghost and die. And of course, His resurrection and ascension to glory, and that victory over death in the grave. Do we hear it? Do we hear His voice? Pilate glibly asks, what is trip? What is trip? And he passes it off. Little did he know that truth in the flesh stood before him. Truth, the very personification of truth, stood there, bound before him, as he almost scoffingly asks, what is true? But, beloved, Pilate is like many, many folk today who do not want to hear, let alone know, the truth. How do you know that? By his actions. What did he do? He immediately got up and walked away. How many times have you tried to witness to somebody of the truth? You tried to tell them about what Jesus has done for them. How that God loves them and gave His only begotten Son for them. And they seem to shrug it off as if it was meaningless. If that's what you believe, huh? That's fine for you if you believe that. As if the whether or not they believe it determines if it's true or not. But again, that's where we're at. It's what the world's philosophy is. If we're not careful, we will reject the obvious truth that God has given to us. Dear one, you could be in this church this morning and hear a clear declaration of gospel truth and walk away unaffected. Please hear what God would say to you. The truth is that Jesus was born, hallelujah, became flesh and blood, so that He, the Son of God, God in the flesh, could pay the sin debt of man, my sin debt. Then and now, all who hear and believe are made or become the children of God. All that hear my voice, everyone that is of the truth, heareth my voice. The truth is that we need Jesus and that He is the truth. Now, one, if not the underlying message of the Bible, is that God is truth. That God is truth. In John 14:6, the Lord Jesus Christ declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 17, in verse 17, our Lord in His prayer affirmed, Thy word is true. In John 16, in verse 13, the Lord Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. And not only that, not only is He affirmed that this Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, He also teaches that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. God's about truth. God wants us to know the truth. He doesn't want us to be in the dark concerning the truth. He wants everyone here this morning to know the most important thing that anyone can possibly know. The truth concerning His Son. And in that we see, lastly this morning, that Jesus is liberating truth. Very familiar words in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And again, a passage that we have to do a little bit of background on. In verse 12, it says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We come into this passage down into verse 30. And it's on verse 29, he says, He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. And as He spake these words, many believed on Him. Now again, folks, we have to put this together. He's speaking these things as essentially all at the same time, in the same conversation. He has shared with them that He is the light of the world. He's the one that was that giver of light. He's the very light of life that floods the darkness with Himself. Fortunately, along the way, we read that many received that message. They believed in Him. Now, beloved, I looked at that word this morning, and it's that very familiar word. The word there for believe means to put your trust in something. It's the word that is also translated faith. Some places it's translated trust. Some places it's even translated to put your hope in something in our New Testament. These ones believed in Him. They had put their trust. They had put their hope for the future in Jesus. But then it goes on. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him. Those that had trusted Him. And He said, If you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We quote that. I love it. We rejoice in it. In the liberating truth that is ours in Jesus. But listen to what these believing Jews say to Jesus. They answered Him in verse 33. We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free? They have a short memory. These folks have a very short memory. They're forgetting their forefathers have been carried off into bondage into Assyria and to Babylon. They're forgetting who it was that they were paying taxes to even then. They were under tribute and under the rule and dominion of Rome. We've never been slaves. But even with that said, they were missing the point that the Lord Jesus was seeking to make to them. Listen in verse 34. Jesus answered them, Verily, verily. The idea of those words is truly, truly. Or He could even have been saying, Amen, Amen. Because what that word means is, Listen, make it so. This is true. Verily, verily. I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Jesus was saying to them that he that is sin, he that is a sinner, is the slave, is the bond slave to sin. And when He was speaking to them that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, He was trying to help them understand that as you have put your faith, you have put your trust in Me, I have set you free from your bondage, your servitude to sin. Hallelujah. For that day, that beautiful, wonderful day, when the truth of the cross, the truth of what Jesus Christ did for us, set us free. Oh, I like to say this. You probably get tired of me saying it. Sorry. I'm the one that gets the fun of preaching. It was that day in 1974 in December, not just celebrated that birthday, that for the first time, I had the ability to say no to sin and no to the devil and yes to Jesus. set me free from those chains of sin, from sin's bondage. I was free for the first time to say yes to Him. Yes, indeed. The truth, beloved, will set us free when we have a reliable truth to believe in. Well, remember John chapter 14, verse 6. Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But the verse doesn't end there, does it? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you say, oh, don't tell me you're one of those narrow-minded folks that believe there's only one way to God. Oh, you're one of those ones that believe in absolute truth. Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am. But beloved, I don't regret that. I'm so thankful. I rejoice that there's a way to God. And that God is saying, come. His invitation isn't, no, you can't come. No, 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 no. No, He's saying, my Son is the way. Come through Him to me. Hallelujah. But there is a way that God's been pleased to give us through His Son. Now I close saying this. True salvation is not something that you did somewhere, some point in your life. Not something you did. Salvation's not simply agreeing with the words of a preacher or a teacher. The devils believe and tremble. They know what's true. Doesn't mean they're saved, does it? Now listen to this. Salvation isn't even reciting a prayer. As I read this today, salvation is knowing, capital T, truth, Jesus. Salvation is knowing Him. Aren't you glad that moment, that time in your life when you were introduced to Christ and you came to know Him? Huh? I'm thankful that I'm not trusting a message. Now hold on. Some people you might say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm thankful. I'm not trusting in a message to get me to glory. Sure thankful I'm not trusting in the waters of baptism to get me to heaven. I'm thankful that I'm not trusting in what some preacher did for me somewhere along the line. I'm thankful that I'm trusting in the truth. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. And that what He said is true. Oh my, I guess that makes all of us that believe the truth dangerous. Let's stand together, beloved. This is the introduction. I hope you'll come back tonight for the message. Father, we bow before You this morning, and Lord, I don't know the reality of men's hearts this morning. Father, it may well be there's folk here this day in this very service that have never trusted Jesus, never believed Him, never came into that relationship to Him. Father, I plead with You. Make real. Lord, do what I can't do. Make real the truth this morning. That Jesus is indeed God. The God-man that died for them. He laid down His life, shed His blood to pay the price of their sin. Father, please communicate that to hearts today, and that He is indeed here to save and deliver souls. Father, I pray for every one of us that is saved. Lord, it's a simple message that we've heard today. but it's an eternal message. And I pray that we would go from this place rejoicing in the truth, rejoicing in Jesus and what He did for us. We love You, Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful for Your love for us. In Jesus' name, for His glory we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother John, you have a song for us.
Page 163.
As we sing this morning, please do what the Lord would have you to do. Maybe folks you need to pray for. There may be needs on your heart today. Maybe that God had impressed you that this is the church you need to be part of and serve in. Whatever it is, maybe you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and become part of this church. Whatever the need is, please obey the Lord today. Do what He'd have you to do. Let's sing.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Come then and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land, where joys immortal flow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Come then and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land, where joys immortal flow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated, folks. could finish that in a minute. If I can get you. This is Paul and Earlene Hasty have presented themselves for membership this morning. And as I was praying a moment ago with them, praying a minute ago with them, the story, they had come to Fort Worth and had actually been visiting in another church for a good while, a couple of months, and couldn't get peace about joining there, and not to throw rocks at another independent Baptist church, but then they along the way, they was checking out other churches on the web and found us and realized that, hey, they support some of the same missionaries we do. And as it turns out, their church in North Dakota supports our missionaries, and we support their missionaries. And so there was a bond there, an immediate bond, and we sure enjoyed. They've been visiting for about a month, and they come today and presenting themselves for membership by a letter of recommendation from this Bible Baptist Church. In Grand Fork, North Dakota. Okay. Well, Paul, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Yes, sir, I have.
And you follow the Lord in believers' baptism.
Yes, I have.
And it's your desire to unite with Metropolitan Baptist Church,
yes,
on the promise of a letter from Sister Baptist Church.
Yes, just,
and we do that separately. Miss Erlene, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Yes, I have.
And follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And it's your desire to unite with Metropolitan Baptist Church on the promise of a letter. Amen. Well, amen. We're excited about that and been praying about that. So it's an answer to prayer, to say the least. Now pray the Lord would show them the right house. They have looked at over 150 houses and not found that one. So now we need to see them find that house for them in the area. All in favor of receiving these ones in the membership of Metropolitan Baptist Church and a promise of letter, say amen.
Amen.
Oppose the same sign and so ordered. Well, praise the Lord. And you can sit down, and when we close the service, we want to welcome them into the fellowship of Metropolitan. Please continue to pray for the Holland family and the homegoing of Austin just 1 week ago this morning. And also pray for all you that were here Thursday know that this church was filled up with young folk that heard the gospel and the challenge of the Word of God three times over. And since then, I guess it was Friday morning, we uploaded the funeral service to the website, linked it to about any place and every place that those young people would be looking. And I checked this morning before coming in, I believe there was nearly 400 views, or at least page views, of the funeral. And I forget 50 or so that had downloaded it. So pray for those lives. Pray that God would work in those hearts. And Felicia was saved Thursday at the funeral. And we're so thankful for that and rejoice in that. And other young people. As I preached that day, my heart just ached for them, that they just seems there's so little truth for those kids these days, and the truth is being stolen from them on every side. So please pray for those young people. Curtis, would you come?
Gentlemen, if y'all come forward and receive this morning's offering. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for us today. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful message we heard this morning about truth, your truth, you being the truth. Thank you for that truth, Lord. Lord, like right now, be this offering we're about to receive, be the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good job, Maestro. A few announcements here. If there's anything you need to be needs to be put in this bulletin, the Davisons, Mr. Nay, are you officially taking over now? Anything needs to be put in there, needs to see Mr. Nay, she'll have it in there. We'll try to get it read right. Today, after church, any new families who've joined recently who has not had their picture taken in the directory, today after church, right behind us, if you'll go out this door, take a left to the end of the hall, take a left, and there's a door back there on the right, on the back. Go back there and smile. Take a picture. Say cheese. Tonight after church, we're having a sandwich fellowship in the gym. So if Miss Sandra has talked to you about it, please bring your sandwiches. We look forward to that. Ladies' fellowship on the 23rd and ladies' retreat on the 25th. There's going to be a baby shower for Miss Lauren on the 26th. I think of the other thing. Look on the center thing here. Preacher advertised it real good last week. On the bottom part of that, if there's anything that you feel that the Lord has laid on your heart to help with, we could use some help. Many hands make light work. And besides that, you'll get a big blessing out of it. So, thank you for that.
We'll be dismissed with our chorus, Every Day with Jesus, and then we'll shake hands with our newest members.
Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and He's the one I'm living for.